Good evening and welcome to This Week in Football from the makers of Low Limit Football on the All In Sports Talk Network. I am your host, Joe Uccello, and tonight, joined as always by my co-host, Mr. Roberto Rojas, and special guest tonight, Mr. Meyer Mezahi, North African freelance journalist, as we break down the Atlas Lions of Morocco as they return to the World Cup for the first time since 1998. Gentlemen, thank you both for joining me tonight. And Meyer, I want to start out with you and ask you your ties to Moroccan football.
My first favorite player in soccer was actually in the 1998 World Cup. I liked Emmanuel Petit, and the second player that I really liked watching was Mustafa Hadji, and he was a star of that Moroccan 1998 team. He had these red shoes on. He had like hair like Roberto Baggio. He had so much style and class, and I just still remember the goal he scored against Scotland. He was such a good dribbler and finisher of the football. So he was somebody that I always liked to watch. And that's where really my first love story started with Morocco. But as I mentioned before, I love North African football. I love African football in general. And Morocco is just it's nearby where I'm based, which is Algeria. And I'm actually going there tomorrow, so to hopefully do some work in Moroccan football. So it's just a country that I love, and they're. It's very exciting because they're doing so much these days with the World Cup trying to host the World Cup. They've won the African Nations Championship of 2018. They were good in the Cup of Nations, and now, of course, they've qualified to the World Cup. So it's a very exciting football scene going on right now.
It's definitely the exciting times in Morocco and definitely full of optimism. So I'll head into the World Cup history real quick. You know, they did qualify in 1970, you know, and they did go also as well. And also a bit of a tidbit of history as well. In 1986, they were the first African team to win the group at a World Cup, and they did so finishing ahead of Portugal, Poland, and England as well. They were also the first team to make it into the second round, only barely losing to eventual runners-up West Germany in 86. And, you know, heading into 1998, as you mentioned, they were also... They also qualified to 1994 as well, but in 1998, you know, they came within 2 minutes of moving out of the group stage. If it wasn't for a late winning goal of Norway against Brazil that basically eliminated them, so you know, obviously this is exciting times as you mentioned. It's definitely exciting times as you mentioned right here. Obviously, you know. As you said, you know, they've qualified for their first World Cup in 20 years. You know, they're trying their best to hopefully stage the World Cup in 2026. You know, they've also hosted a Club World Cup, which has also given and opened the door to other, you know, like big European clubs, South American clubs, Africa, North America, and so on and so forth, Asia. So I just want your thoughts on basically Morocco qualifying to the World Cup for the first time in 20 years. And given that, you know, as we'll talk about later in the teams and the players to watch, you know, this is a team that, you know, many of the players are very familiar of all across the world. But I just want your thoughts on this overall.
Yeah, it's really a celebration of football that's going on in Morocco right now, because, again, for the last 2 years, we've seen an unprecedented amount of success at all levels. So, again, the local side won the African Nations Championship. The national team qualified for the first World Cup in 20 years. Wydad Casablanca, the country's most successful club, won the 2017 African Champions League. And now, of course, they're bidding to host the 2026 World Cup, the first country that would ever host a 48-team World Cup, and it would be an African country. I mean, according to reports, they might be close to doing it. And we learn if they do get this the rights on the 6th and 7th of June, so just before the World Cup. And you can imagine how that would buoy the atmosphere in the Atlas Lion camp. So it's a very exciting time, and this World Cup means so much to them. It's really the cherry on top. And it's good to be back after 20 years with a talented team, with a coach that's done such a good job. And with this sort of united nationalistic unity going on right now that can really push teams to really do the spectacular.
Now, I want to jump into the qualification for this team, because for me, this was actually one of the most impressive World Cup qualifiers coming out of Africa. They were in Group C, pitted against Ivory Coast, Gabon, and Mali. We all know the greatness of Ivory Coast. Gabon featured Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang, one of the best goal scorers right now in the world, one of the top strikers in the world. But this is the only team that actually conceded no goals in World Cup qualifying. They scored 11 and did not concede any. Now, that led to three wins and three draws, and you have three goalless draws for them at that point. So is it more concern? Are you more concerned about the offense, seeing that they had to go through three nil-nil draws to get to this World Cup? Or are you more impressed with the fact that they didn't concede any goals?
Well, if you go back and look at the matches, their goalless draws were at the beginning of the qualifying campaign. Mm-hmm. And that's what's important, because it's a crazy story. But when Hervé Renard came in, the first thing he did was work on a real defensive block. And he was playing, I think, a 3-4-3 at the time, and switched systems. But his real priority was to make sure that Morocco don't concede a lot of goals. And he did that very, very well. Unfortunately, there were some personal problems with a few of the players that he had that didn't help him. So, for example, after he got those first two 0-0s, they go to the African Cup of Nations, but they're without Boufal, they're without Ziyech, they're without a few other players that are evading me. I believe Nordin Amrabat wasn't there as well, due to injury, due to club pressure, or due to other things. And these are very, very good attacking players that have been basically carrying the Moroccan attack. So he goes to the Cup of Nations without them and still manages to put up a very good performance, only just losing out to Egypt, who would end up being finalists. When he comes back from the Cup of Nations, he had fallen out with Hakim Ziyech. Hakim Ziyech, for those that don't know, will be the Moroccan side's player to look out for. He's a star of world football, and you'll see him in a Champions League club very, very soon. He plays for Ajax Amsterdam. He's their number 10. He's put up an absurd number of assists and goals. Very good left foot, kind of skinny mold, almost like a Riyad Mahrez, but a much better passer, maybe, and shooter of the ball, not as good of a dribbler. Hakim Ziyech took exception with Hervé Renard leaving him on the bench for a few matches against the likes of Sao Tome e Principe, a country that most people will not have even have heard of. But Hervé Renard at the time really wanted all of his players to put in a defensive shift. Again, he was putting so much priority on defense that he wasn't even giving the likes of Hakim Ziyech his due. So Hakim Ziyech took it poorly, and he said, you know what, I'm done with the Moroccan national team. Hervé Renard pretty much said, okay, well, you're not running things, I'm running things. And it got to a very bad point, to the point where when Morocco played a friendly match against Holland, the supporters were singing, Ziyech, 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 as Ziyech didn't show up. And after the match, Renard said, look, you guys can decide. Either he comes or I leave, pretty much. He set the ultimatum. And here we have to sort of really highlight the impressive work that the president of the Moroccan Federation did, Fawzi Lakhdja, who has become, by the way, a real power player on the African scene, who's the mastermind behind the 2026 bid and behind the 2018 African Nations Championship success. He went to Holland, he spoke to Ziyech, he spoke to Renard, and he made them meet in Amsterdam. And as soon as Ziyech came back, he was really the key that unlocked everything. They won their next match 6-0, and after that they won 3-0. And then after that, they went to Abidjan in the Ivory Coast. I was there at that match, and they won 2-0 as well. So as soon as Ziyech came back, they started scoring goals. So with Ziyech in the lineup, they don't really struggle to score goals. It was really the beginning when Hervé Renard was trying to rejig the system and place priority on defense. And when he had problems with Ziyech, they weren't scoring goals. But since then, they've looked very, very impressive in attack and in defense.
Well, obviously, looking into the nitty-gritty, and you know, as we mentioned, for these North African teams, they aren't going to have very easy groups. You know, Egypt's in a hard group, Tunisia's in a hard group, and now Morocco's in a tough group. And just, you know, going in order of the teams that they will be facing, first off, they will be taking on Iran on the 15th, before taking on Portugal on the 20th, and against Spain to finish it off on the 25th. You know, I guess I'll ask you this one, Mahir, I think this is a really, really tough group for all these teams, I would say. Many people want to point to the straightforward situation, similar to what Belgium and England are doing in Group G. But I still think that there could be a surprise in this one. I don't know. I feel that, you know, given the way that they qualify, as you mentioned, Joe, you know, they haven't conceded a goal in all of qualifying and doing so in a tough group. But I just want your thoughts on this group overall. And you know, do you feel that they can really cause a surprise, you know, given the quality they have, basically the depth as well of great players on their team? You know, I just want your thoughts on this group as well.
I think Morocco are the best African side at the World Cup. And it hurts me to say as an Algerian and we have a friendly rivalry, but I really do believe it. Not only do they have the best 23 players that'll be in Russia, but they also have the best coach from African nations that'll be in Russia, and they have the most momentum going into it. And the results speak for themselves. You guys mentioned the impressive defensive record. We've mentioned all the exploits that we've seen at club and international level. in March, they played two friendlies against Serbia, who will also be at the World Cup, and against Uzbekistan, who are no pushovers as well. And they won both of those matches. One thing that I noticed when I was in, so let me just drop the scene. In the last match of the qualifying campaign, Morocco had to play against the Ivory Coast, who had been, remember, to three successive World Cups, an African powerhouse who won the 2015 Cup of Nations and who had not lost a match in Abidjan in a long, long time. And Morocco go there to Abidjan. I was there, and I went to the press conference that Hervé Renard, he was there. And I remember what shocked me was his calm demeanor, because the journalists were asking him, you know, like, but if you guys lose, you know, and it's been 20 years, and don't you feel like pressure? And Hervé Renard was saying, no, there's no pressure. He's saying, look, if we lose, I'm going to take the blame. You guys are going to fire me. It's not a problem. You still have a great group of players who are destined to do great things. The country is doing very, very well. Don't worry about it. It's one result. I'm going to take the responsibility if we lose. There's no need to stress, etc. And he really reminded me very much of Mourinho. And, you know, when Mourinho, and they ask him about pressure, and he tells them, you know, pressure is the avian bird flu. But he did such a good job of just deflecting all of that, creating that insular atmosphere, protecting his players, and letting them step onto the pitch calm in their minds. And I think that that's what makes him such a good tournament coach. This is a coach, remember, that won the African Cup of Nations with two different teams, with Zambia in 2012, who are minnows, and with the Ivory Coast in 2015, who struggled to win it with their golden generation. From 2006 to 2015, they didn't win anything. And when he came in 2015, he was the one that created the magic recipe. He's such a good coach on the African continent. He's underrated on the global stage. And I think we're going to see the rest of the world see what a good coach he is when I think Morocco gets through to the knockout stages.
Wow, that's a really big big thing to say. And, you know, obviously we'll talk about this in the predictions later, but, you know, as you mentioned, you know, given the quality that comes out of Africa, you know, we did talk about Senegal being that sleeper pick, or Egypt with the performances that Mohamed Salah has been doing at Liverpool. You know, is it safe to say that Morocco could be your sleeper for this World Cup?
I think so, because look, the hardest thing for them will be getting out of the group. So I think they're going to beat Iran. I've watched Iran play against Tunisia and against against Algeria in March to prepare for that eventual match against Morocco. And that's the first match they play. So both of those countries will take that match as a final. And they understand that whoever wins that match will have an advantage. So I think if Morocco can get through that first match, I think they can upset one of Spain or Portugal. And if they get out of the group, they're going to be paired up with the two teams that advance from Group A. And Group A is not the best group. I'm sorry. It's Russia, Saudi Arabia, Egypt, and Uruguay. I think Morocco, if they can get out of their group, can make it to the quarterfinals. And I think they have the best chance, again, if they can get out of their group, to go, you know, again, into the quarterfinals or maybe even the semifinals. Who knows?
It's amazing how this cup is lined up. But, you know, that this particular pairing, where this Group B really looks at the opponents across the way of Group A and really feels like they can get to the quarterfinals, because there are the Group A is just such a weak group, and really the key is getting out of Group B. Once you can do that, you feel like you can actually get to the quarterfinals pretty easily.
Yeah, you're exactly right. And I think most teams will feel that way as well. They just know that they have to get through that initial group, the group matches. And I think for that reason, I think in Group B, you're going to see a lot of tense matches, a lot of cagey, you know, sort of games where teams are very scared to make mistakes. And it's really the details that will count. So I think you're not going to see a lot of high scoring matches. You're going to see a lot of nil nils, one nils. And I think that plays into Morocco's hands, because this is a team, again, that defends very, very well, that doesn't concede a lot of goals. And I think they'll do well in a tournament format. So I think, again, of the African teams, they have the best chance of going far into this tournament.
Sure. Now, I want to take a look at the players on this team. And like you said, this team is pretty talented, led by 31-year-old captain Mehdi Benatia at Juventus. My first question to you is, who will pair with Benatia in the back line there? My impression is that's going to be Başakşehir's Manuel Da Costa, but is it him, or could it be somebody else?
So Mehdi Benatia, as you correctly mentioned, will start at center back. Da Costa of Istanbul Başakşehir, he was playing in the March friendlies. Hervé Renard played him there, but before that, the person that was pairing up with Mehdi Benatia was Roman Sais of Wolverhampton Wanderers, and I think Da Costa wasn't very impressive in the March friendly, so I do believe that Sais will end up starting next to Benatia in central defense.
Okay. Now, the top goal scorer for them in qualifying, or actually I believe right now, is, and I'm just going to look at this real quick. It's Ayub El-Kabi, who plays currently at Burkane in Morocco. He plays locally. He's also 24 years old. He's scored 8 goals in 10 caps. Is he the player that is going to be the breakout star, or is there somebody else that you think we'll have?
So I don't think Ayub El-Kabi will start. Those statistics are actually taking into account the matches that he played with the local national team. In Africa, there's a competition called the African Nations Championship, which is national teams comprised of only local players who play in this sort of continental competition. And Ayub El-Kabi, he was the main goal scorer of the 2018 version that Morocco won. So there weren't really full international caps. He won't be starting, but he's a player that has impressed a lot, and that coming off the bench will be a real asset. And I think he could actually be somebody that could surprise people, because they won't have complete scouting reports of him. He's had an unreal season, and I think he'll be in Europe in a matter of time. But he won't be starting. I think it's going to be Khalid Boutayeb, who's also playing in Turkey, if I'm correct, who will be starting up top.
You know, you mentioned El-Kabi. You know, he scored 10 goals in 8 games. They were all in 2018, and I think that's impressive as well. But regardless, yeah, it is a different competition, nevertheless. So heading into predictions, obviously this is a team with an immense amount of talent all across the world, you know. I think this is I do have a couple questions regarding this case. You know, we did talk about Tunisia real quick, and, you know, how, you know, many of their players aren't playing outside of Africa or the Middle East or anything like that. But you look at Morocco, you know, you only have about, if I'm reading this correctly, you only have 3 players that are only playing in the domestic league. The majority of players are playing in Spain, some are playing in Italy, Turkey, England, France, you know, Holland, obviously. It's all mixed over. I just want your thoughts on about that. You know, is there something that maybe Morocco is doing right that perhaps the other North African teams aren't doing?
That's a loaded question. I think what they did right that no other North African team did well. Actually, you know what? I think the other North African teams did do well as well. Is appoint a proper the right manager. I think Tunisia appointed the right manager because they started their campaign with Henry Kasperzak, and they got rid of him and brought in Nabil Maloul. And Egypt stuck with Hector Cooper even after some of the results maybe weren't the best. And he's got them to their first World Cup since 1990. So it's just Algeria, really, that's really messed up their coaching appointments for the national team. But I think that's what Morocco really did well. They still have a lot of the same problems that we have all across North Africa, which is maybe they're not producing a lot of players from the domestic league that make it into the national team. Most North African nations tend to rely on their diaspora, players that are of Moroccan, Algerian, Tunisian nationality, but born abroad in France or in Spain or in Holland or wherever. But things are changing. A lot of grassroots work is being done in Morocco, in Algeria, and Tunisia. But I don't think they're necessarily that far ahead of the other countries, besides the fact that their federation has been doing very good work in appointing the right coaches and staff.
No, absolutely. And I think maybe, you know, and Joel, maybe I'll get this back to you. I mean, it's certainly perhaps, and we've talked about this with other countries as well around the world, that maybe this is something that the United States has to take a page out of.
No doubt about it. They really should, you know, follow this, and it would lead to better development of players coming back into the national team as well. So I don't see why not.
Definitely. Now, just heading into the squad real quick, obviously you mentioned the quality of players, you know, Benatia, you know, you mentioned Ziyech, who plays in Ajax, and many other players. I just want your thoughts on, you know, what to expect from this Morocco side for many people that perhaps aren't familiar with them as a national team, of course. And, of course, you know, give a predicting starting 11 heading into this this Group B, that which I have one more follow-up question to ask.
Well, to be brief, you can expect them to be defensively solid. You shouldn't expect teams to score more than 2 goals against them. Even I don't care if they're Portugal or Spain. They're going to have a tough time getting through this Moroccan side. They're going to be very well organized. They're going to get men behind the ball. They're going to mark well. They're going to break in transition. They're going to rely in attack. They're going to rely on Hakim Ziyech, who's the Ajax playmaker. And he's going to be trying to get in, you know, lots of through balls, crosses to their striker, Khalid Boutayeb, who's great in the air. He's a good striker in the air, and he gets a lot of headers and goals. But there's a few questions. There's a question that who's going to start at left back. So you have Real Madrid youngster Ashraf Hakimi. I believe he's 19 years old, if I'm not mistaken. But he's actually a right back, and he sort of had to deputize as a left back. or you have another young player who has, I believe, 20 or 21 years old, Hamza Mendil, who's playing at Lille in France, but hasn't been playing much. So you have two very young players that could be playing left back for Morocco, and that's a position that's sort of worried the coach. And the second position would be goalkeeper. You have Munir Al-Mohammadi, Munir Al-Khazoui, also called Munir Al-Khazoui, who's the goalkeeper and who's done a fantastic job with the national team, but he hasn't been playing for his club in the second division of Spain. Meanwhile, you have Yassine Bounou, who's been starting every match for Girona in La Liga and doing very, very well. But he's sort of been relegated to this second goalkeeper position that he can't break out of, despite his fantastic performances with his club. So it's going to be interesting to see, leading into the World Cup, if Munir doesn't play anymore, if Yassine Bounou will be able to take that number one goalkeeping position, or if they're going to stick with Munir, despite the fact that he hasn't had a lot of playing time with his club.
No, absolutely. And of course, you did mention that you could definitely see this Morocco side, and obviously we'll talk about it a bit more further in our next segment. But, you know, you did say that they could definitely make a good run in the World Cup and definitely get out of their group. And, you know, and many people want to point to that straightforward circumstance of either Spain and Portugal going through. But, you know, if you're looking at that situation where Morocco goes through, who goes out and who joins them? Who do you feel can eliminate, Morocco can eliminate out of those two?
I love African football and I love to watch it as much as I can, but I don't get too much time to watch football anywhere else around the world. So I wouldn't call myself an expert. I wouldn't pretend to know who would be better prepared of Spain and Portugal. But I do think, I've watched Iran play a few times now, I don't think they have what it takes to get past Morocco, and I don't believe they have what it takes to get past Spain or Portugal. So it'd really be a toss-up between Morocco and then one of Spain or Portugal. Portugal are the European champions, and I do know that. Spain, for me, seem to be the better side when it comes to playing possession football, but Portugal seems to be more realistic, more pragmatic. They seem to counterattack better, maybe, and can probably be more efficient in attack with the likes of Cristiano Ronaldo. So I think maybe Morocco and Portugal, and it's going to be a shock, but I think we might see Spain eliminated in the group stages for a second straight World Cup.
Wow, that's a huge one, Joe, don't you think?
That's definitely a bold prediction. I think when people tune in and listen to this podcast, they're going to be floored by that, to say the least. I can't wait to see if what kind of comments we'll get on that, because that's interesting.
And, well, definitely, if that does happen, a lot of gamblers are definitely going to lose a lot of money.
What about if it comes true? Then you can say you heard it here first, right?
There you go.
Exactly. So I do have, before I go to my final questions, I do have one question about the goalkeeping situation between Mohammadi and Bounou. When do you feel that change could be made from going from Mohammadi to Bounou? Do you think it will happen in the friendlies, or do you think they'll actually wait till that first match against Iran and say, you know, maybe Morocco win the match 3-2 or something like that, where Mohammadi gives up a couple of weak goals and Bounou ends up, you know, starting against both Portugal and Spain?
Yeah, it's a tough one, isn't it? Because you'd always like to give a goalkeeper enough matches in his legs so that he can get familiar with his defense, because so much of what they do is based on communication between their central defenders and organizing how they defend set pieces and stuff. So you would assume that they would... It would be in May when they do play these pre-tournament friendlies. So I think that if the change would happen, it would happen then. But you can never say never. I remember in the 2010 World Cup, Algeria switched goalkeepers after the first match because our starting goalkeeper at the time, Fawzi Chaouchi, just really gave up a terrible gaffe to Slovenia. And the player that did come in, Rice and Bolhi, actually did very well against the United States and against England. So... again, I think Bounou is strong enough mentally to come in the middle of the tournament, but I don't think you'd be putting him in the best condition. So I think if you're going to make the change, do it in May.
No doubt about it. So let's go and look into our final segment here. And I want to ask you, obviously we've made the bold prediction here where we feel that Morocco and Portugal will move through and Spain will actually be eliminated out of Group B. But I want to ask you the reasonable expectation for this for this particular team, given this difficult group and the challenges that face them, what's reasonable for Morocco in this instance?
If reasonable is what the bookies will tell you, then again, take Spain and Portugal without a doubt. Mm-hmm. But there's something telling me, honestly, because I've been following this Moroccan team for a long, long time, and I see something special in them, not just in the players, but also in the coach, in the federation, within the supporters. They feel that there's something special going on. They're not going to be scared of anybody. They're going to be playing again without an inferiority complex. I can see them going through very honestly. Reasonable would be, I guess, Spain and Portugal going through. But I would not at all be surprised if Morocco ends up going through at the expense of one of them.
Now, let me ask you this. Could this team, with all its defensive quality, be the first African nation to win a World Cup? And what would that mean to the people of Morocco if this team did that?
You know, I might, I'm going to be really the butt end of a lot of jokes, and I might be putting my reputation on the line as a sort of African journalist here. But I honestly believe that this is the best chance I think an African side has had in a long time to actually make Pelé's prediction come through and have an African side actually win the World Cup. Look, I think their chances are still very, very slim, less than 5%. But if anybody's going to do it, I do think it's them. Again, just because in tournament play, playing defense, playing such good defense really, really helps. And having these players that can sort of make the difference, that's what you need as well. And then somebody like Hakim Ziyech, again, I think he's going to be, if he's not at a world-class level now, he's going to be there within 2 years. So this could really be his coming out party. So again, I'm really putting my reputation on the line over here, but I think if anybody can do it, it's going to be them. It would still be a massive shock, a massive surprise, and I wouldn't hear the end of it for the rest of my life. But it would really just be the apotheosis, the sort of the summation of all the good work and all the effort that's being done to sort of make Morocco the supreme, the premier, the best African footballing nation in terms of everything, infrastructure, style of play, federation, etc.
And I think if you really look back on the summer, once we hit September, once we hit the European leagues again, if you look back on this World Cup in this summer of 2018 and you see a Moroccan side that eliminated a Spain or a Portugal, maybe moved even deeper into the World Cup and secured the 2026 World Cup bid, I would say that it would be quite the summer for Moroccan football, don't you think?
For sure. And I'd invite you all to come over to our dear neighboring country. It's going to be a good time, I think, if the World Cup's over there. Honestly, the tourism the tourism sector is great. Transportation prices are cheap. Food is awesome. Why not? The weather is great as well. So I really hope actually it is in Morocco, but either or, even if it's in the States, I'll be sure to come by and visit as well.
Well, if it's in Morocco and Rob and I need a guide, we're definitely calling you.
Sounds good.
No doubt about it. So, gentlemen, I do want to thank you both for joining me tonight and helping me break down the Atlas Lions of Morocco as they make their journey to the 2018 World Cup. So, again, for This Week in Football from the makers of Low Limit Football on the All In Sports Talk Network, I am your host, Joe Uccello. Thanks for listening and good night.